sitting at his feet, and he'll be able to teach us the scripture so we don't have knuckleheads like me up here doing it anymore. We'll be able to understand it. He'll say it so we'll be able to understand it, huh? But at that point, we'll be sure of what he's saying, amen? We'll know it's right. We won't have to wonder. A little bit of news first. We talked a while back about a company out in California called Cinemix, where they make artificial flavor enhancers for different food companies. And a group, pro-life activist group called Children of God for Life, I think it's a Catholic organization, they broke the story on this and started a boycott against the companies that had contracts with Cinemix. And the reason they did that is because Cinemix is using aborted fetal cells in their process of making the flavor enhancers. Now, we know for sure that because Cinemix has admitted it, they're using these cells. What they do is they inject the cell with the flavoring, and then the cell gets a certain chemical reaction. And then they know from that chemical reaction whether or not the body treats that as something that tastes good or bad. So we know that they're doing that for sure in the research and development of these flavor enhancers. On the conspiracy side of that is that they're saying that these are actually being put into the food. Now, we don't know that for sure. But that there is a congressman in Oklahoma that introduced a bill that would outlaw any food products containing human flesh or cells or of any type of anything like that in response to this. So either he knows something that we don't, or he's just trying to cover all the bases so that it doesn't happen, so that it would make it a crime. But anyway, the boycott worked because Kraft Foods is the biggest food producer in the world. Then there's two other ones, and I can't remember their names right off the top of my head. They have not changed. They are still working with Cinemix and using these aborted fetal cells. PepsiCo, was one of the other companies that was involved, and they were using it for all of their drinks. So all Pepsi products had it in there, and then there was a boycott on the Pepsi products. And Pepsi came out and they did a 180. They broke their contracts with Cinemix. So it did some good, okay? And the thing about it is that, you know, we don't need to be activists against abortion, but because we know that it's wrong. We know that that's wrong. But the thing is that companies like this create a market for babies being aborted. Okay, so we got to watch out for those things. But let's talk about Kraft Foods here. Years ago, the FDA outlawed a process in meat production where they added, because meat producers like Kraft, they were adding these microbials, these flesh-eating microbials to the meat products because it would eat diseased meat. And it would give the meat the appearance that it wasn't diseased. Okay, so they could take a diseased bull or whatever, meat cow, and make it look like it wasn't diseased by putting this bacteria on the meat that would eat all the disease away, according to the appearance, so that the meat looked good. And the FDA, a long time ago, outlawed that process. Okay, well, recently, has anybody ever heard of the Federal Register? Okay, well, it's an office within our government. It's basically the logbook for the federal government. Anything that the federal government, all the decisions the federal government make on a daily basis, gets logged in the Federal Register, just like a captain's log or a truck driver's log. Everything they do, they have to log it, okay, and when they did it. That's where you'll find all the executive orders that are getting put out daily. There's executive orders coming from the executive branch daily of different things that supersede our Constitution. But that's where you can get updates from the federal government about the stuff that's going on. Well, anyway, in the Federal Register, I got an update the other day about Kraft Foods and how they applied for a permit to raise the restriction on adding these microbials to ready-to-eat meat products. Now, that would be your hot dogs, your cold cuts at the deli, and stuff like that. Anything that is processed down would be your ready-to-eat meat products. And what they want to do is start adding these bacteria and microbials back to the meat so that it will eat the visible diseased portion of the meat away so that you can't tell that it's diseased meat. And the FDA obliged them. Okay, so think about that next time you go buy those hot dogs and those prepared beef patties and all that good stuff that's out there. Okay, so that was just a little bit of news there for you. It just makes it look like it. Correct, because the disease is still growing. Correct. Yeah, so because the disease is still there growing, you know, otherwise the bacteria wouldn't live. Yeah. Yeah. I know we had to get a whole bunch tomorrow too, right? But you know, that's part of being a watchman, is we're supposed to alert the people to what's going on. But you know what? I tell you, the world makes it impossible to be holy. They almost make it impossible to be holy. I mean, you cannot let your guard down for a second. It's in every area of life. It doesn't matter where it is. It's in every... you can go to Children of God for Life. Type that into Google. Or you can go directly to Cinemix. They have a website where you... it is Cenomyx. Children of God for Life. They're the ones that started the boycott. Yeah. But Wendy's was one of those people on the list, and Wendy's completely cut all ties. And if you notice, Wendy's is going to more beef and real potato, real French fries and stuff now, using sea salt and stuff like that. So there is a change. You see a change that's starting to happen. Campbell's Soup is one of the biggest ones that is with Cinemix and stuff like that. But there's a whole list. I mean, Cadbury Candy Company, Dentine Gum, any Dentine or stuff like that, they use that research and development process to get their flavors and stuff like that. But anyway, that's part of being a watchman, and that's what our subject is. We're in Isaiah 56. In verse 10, through 12. Oh, no problem. Thank you. What we've been doing for the past couple weeks is going through these last three verses, one subject at a time. It's an expository sermon. It's exposing something from the passages. It's expounding upon the passages. Usually we would do this verse by verse, but there's enough here in these three verses here for lots of lessons, way more than what I'm giving. I'm skipping over things because of time and things of that nature. But anyway, we're talking, this is a warning for in the future about apostate teachers and apostate preachers or apostate watchmen. Okay, so I'll read it. His watchmen are all blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. So this is a warning from Isaiah about the future of watchmen in our world. Okay? And we left off talking about the rapture of the church in verse 11, where it says that they cannot understand, they refuse to rightly divide. And like I said, there is a lot more we could say on rightly dividing. Okay, a lot more. I mean, all kinds of stuff, but it would take years to go through all of the stuff just on rightly dividing. Okay, so I just kind of breezed over it to give a general idea to spark your curiosity, to get your interest going so that you will start studying on rightly dividing and how we properly apply Scripture to the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Those are the three types of people you will find in the Bible, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, and they are not all the same. Okay, period. They are not all the same. So that was rightly dividing. And now we're in verse 12, we're in verse 12, okay, and it says, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, okay? Now that means this is giving you some knowledge of what to look for about an apostate watchman. And one of the big things today with apostasy is that these watchmen refuse to live a holy life, okay? In today's society, we are losing more and more brethren to the world. A sanctified church starts with a sanctified preacher. A pastor must set the standard for the congregation. More and more each day, the church is changing, making it nearly impossible to discern between it and the world. Alfred P. Gibbs wrote a book back in the 60s, and it's called A Preacher and His Preaching. If you're thinking about preaching or becoming a missionary, this is a really good book because it lays out basically from start to finish of how a preacher should be. And the first third of the book is basically trying to get you to not be a preacher. Trying to figure out whether or not you've really been called to preach, because that's the most important thing when it comes to being a missionary or a preacher, is knowing for sure that you've been called. But in his book called The Preacher and His Preaching, he outlined some qualifications of a preacher that I feel apply in this area. So beware of a teacher that, number one, is not a student of the Bible. Number two, is not a man of prayer. And number three, is not living a clean life. Okay? Now, I would dare say that it's a rare bird to find a preacher nowadays that has actually read the Bible from cover to cover. I'll be honest with you, I haven't read all of Exodus and I haven't read all of Leviticus. I fall asleep. Okay? I have not read all of those two books. But it is hard to find a pastor of a church or an evangelist or something like that, or a priest or a minister, any of them, that have actually read the book from cover to cover. You can get online right now and you can find a sermon on any topic. And you don't even have to go to your Bible. You can just print it out right offline and have everything you need right there. Sermonaudio.com. Does anybody listen to sermonaudio.com? I mean, they've got hundreds and thousands of sermons on there. Hundreds and thousands of free sermons on there. And it's a good resource. It's a good resource. Okay? So, one of the ways to test a preacher is to ask him questions. That's the easiest way to test him, to see if he's apostate. We talked about this a little bit in the first portion where they study where they refuse to study. Okay, now an apostate teacher will not be a student of the Bible. Okay, if you're met with contention, most likely you're dealing with a false teacher. Most likely you're dealing with a false teacher if a preacher gets upset when you start asking questions. This used to happen a lot with my family when we first became Bible. I got saved in a missionary Baptist church. So it was all music and just the death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday. But it was music for like 40 minutes. And then it was a 5 to 10 minute preaching on the death, burial, and resurrection. And there was a lot of hallelujah and a lot of amen. Okay. And I got saved in that, okay, which is great. The Lord was dealing with me. But immediately after I got saved, I got out of church. I stopped going to church, and I went back to my old ways. I mean, within months after I got saved and baptized. And at the time, I couldn't figure out what it was. But then the Lord worked and really some very funny ways, putting specific people in my life to get us here to this church. And God can use anybody to do that with. Anybody. Anyone, okay? And God used a man to get me here in this church. And the great thing about it was, is at the time, I had no idea what was going on, because I was in my old ways, and I was hanging out with this guy hunting and fishing and stuff like that, and he kept giving me a hard time about, you know, my music and different things that I was doing, and he was right, 100%. But my attitude towards that was, man, I want to learn, why is he telling me this stuff? Okay? So I started learning what it was all about. And we came here on when we had the play here in the catacombs. Remember that play? Was it called the catacombs? It was about the catacombs. But that's the first time we came here, and I was hooked after that. The people that were here were so knowledgeable and so helpful, and you know, we've been here ever since. That was almost 11 years ago. And the thing about it was that I didn't know what was going on. Okay, but now that I look back, I knew exactly what was going on. It was after I got saved, my eyes were open to the truth, okay? And my first reaction was to reject it, and that's why I got out of church, because I got self-righteous when the Holy Spirit was working on me. I got self-righteous, and I looked at everybody in that Missionary Baptist church, and they're all drinkers, and they're all smokers, and they're all partying still, you know, on Friday nights and all that good stuff. But yet they're all at church singing all these wonderful hymns about being holy and loving the Lord Jesus. And I saw right through that, but my reaction was to become self-righteous. So I said, well, I'm not going to go to church with those people, you know. So I got out of church. Well, about a year went by, and I got back in church, and I found out what was going on, and my eyes were open to these truths. But a false teacher is not going to be a student of the Bible, okay? So he's got to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is a great passage. You should memorize that passage. It's great. And tell that, recite that passage in your mind to yourself over and over again. You know, that's one of the great things. You know, I was just thinking about that when we were singing Trust and Obey, because Trust and Obey is one of the songs that gets stuck in my head a lot. And I just trust and obey. I sing that. Just that portion, trust and obey, you know, all day long sometimes. And what a difference it is, because prior to getting saved, that wasn't the kind of songs that were in my head. You know what I mean? And what a blessing it is now to have hymns get stuck in your head. Amen? Isn't that great? You know? And you can tell how bad the world is, because you can hear one of those songs, man, and it'll be in your head for 3 or 4 days. You know, and it eats away at you like a disease, you know, and it changes your mood and everything. But anyway, a false teacher will not be a student of the Bible. Now, some things to think about when studying, okay? You have got to have the right attitude when you study. You have to have the right attitude. Look in Proverbs 2. This is God's three-step process to learning. Okay? There's three ifs here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. I'm sorry, verse 1. We're starting in verse 1. Okay? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her knowledge as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Trying to see where I'm going to stop. Verse 11. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So there's a three-step process, okay? Number one, you have to be willing to receive the words of God, amen? You got to believe the Bible. That's all there is to it. You cannot question this book in any way, shape, or form other than to find out the truth. That's it. You can't question it in any way, shape, or form other than that. You have to believe what it says. Now, you can question it in that, is that the right interpretation coming from the Holy Spirit? Because you have to decide if that's coming from the Holy Spirit or if it's your flesh or if it's the influence of another man or a teacher. Okay, you've got to be able to discern that. Okay, a person described it to me that your spirit is like a sail. Okay, and the Holy Spirit is the wind. Okay, but you've also got wind coming from all these other areas, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And your sail, you've got to pick which wind you're going to grab with your sail so that you can make progress. Okay, and that's what you have to do. You have to be able to receive the words of God, okay? The other if is in verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, you have to want to know the truth. You have to want to know the truth. In Hebrews it says that the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You skip to the other verse and it says, and is a discerner of the hearts and intents of the mind of men. You get the drift, right? It's a bad one there. But anyway, the Bible reads you when you read it. Okay, so you have to be open to the truth. You have to be crying after knowledge. Okay, and then you have to seek for knowledge. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, okay, you have to be diligent. You have to be persistent. Okay, the funny thing is you know he uses here treasure hunters as an example. Okay, and treasure hunters are always on the borderline of madness, you know, because they're always chasing these conspiracies of a treasure here, a boat sunk here, or a treasure hid over here, and things of that nature. And they're consumed with the story that they never stop searching for it. Whether or not they come up with a dead end or not, they can always find another clue to where that treasure is, okay? Well, that's what God is saying here about knowledge, that's what we need to be. That's how we need to be about knowledge. We need to constantly be seeking after her as if it was gold and silver, okay? Which right now is the most valuable thing on the earth, okay? So that's the three-step process to studying. Okay, so he's not a student of the Bible, a false teacher, okay? An apostate teacher also, excuse me, is not a man of prayer. Now, we talked about prayer earlier in this message, okay? So I'm not going to go into prayer. There is too much to list about prayer. E.M. Bounds has a book on prayer. It's this thick, okay? Sit down and read that thing for a while, all right? The one thing I want to say about prayer is in Luke 11, verse 34. One thing I've noticed with prayer is that you can tell a man that has a good prayer life by looking in his eyes. By looking in his eyes. There is something about the peace that you get when you look at their eyes. I don't know, but there's certain people I can look at. There is peace and there's comfort when I look at them. And then there's other people that I can look at and I don't get that feeling. Okay? And everyone in here has somebody like that they know, that they can look at, and it's just like you just feel you're in the company of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you can look at somebody's eyes. So look at verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. So the eyes mean a lot. Okay, you can tell a lot by a man. Michael Pearl says he can tell a porno freak by looking at his eyes. Okay, so be careful what you're looking at. Okay, because there are people out there who can tell. Okay, there's a whole study out there that you can do on psychology about facial expressions, how people's eyes are, and things of that nature that give away a lot about who they are. And the government is starting to use this kind of stuff. Police are starting to use this kind of stuff when they just in regular traffic tickets and stuff like that. I mean, they don't strike a conversation up with you when they pull you over for no reason. Okay? If they got to give you a ticket, then they should just give you a ticket and move on. But they want to talk to you, don't they? Okay? They want to look at you, don't they? They want you to roll that window down. They want to look right into your face because they're trying to get something on you. Okay? That's the way we all are. All right? So you can tell a lot by the eyes, okay? Now, number three here, these apostate teachers are not living a clean life, okay? This is a big one, okay? This does not mean sinless, all right? This does not mean sinless, but we are expected to be holy. That is God's number one attribute in Revelation. They sing, holy, holy, holy. Amen? That's God's number one attribute. You can run the references in the Bible on holiness, on God being holy, everything that's holy. If in the New Testament, when we become saved, everything that has to do with Jesus Christ is considered holy. Okay? That's the number one attribute of God, and that is the number one calling, first and foremost, for the brethren, for a Christian, is to be holy. Okay? It's to be holy. Now, with an apostate teacher, you can usually tell if he's living a clean life. You know these people. It's just like looking into their face, but you know these people who are living a clean life because you immediately come into under conviction when you get around them. Amen? You know there's certain people you can get around that you're going to clean up your act. You're going to talk differently. You're going to walk differently. You're going to look at different things. You're going to listen to different things. You're going to watch different things on TV and stuff like that. You're going to have a totally different conversation with this person than you would with other people. You know who they are, okay? There, you can tell, lots of times, you can tell a man who's living a clean life by just when he walks in the room. There's just a, for lack of a better sense, I would say a spirit. I was going to say an aura, but that's a bad thing to say. But there's just a spirit about guys like this and gals like this. You can tell that they live clean lives, okay? And so holiness is the number one attribute of God, and it's the number one attribute that God calls us to have is holiness, okay? Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, run. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, number one, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3. Talking about the body. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Okay? So there, we talked about food earlier. Amen? Okay? It's one thing Baptists like to look over as far as sins go. But what you put into your body can be really bad for you. There are consequences for what you eat, period, okay, physically speaking, okay? So look at Titus 1:8. Talking about being holy. Talking about a bishop here. But a bishop needs to be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. I like the part about being a lover of hospitality. That's my favorite. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 1. verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The context of conversation here is your life. It's a holy life, okay? Not your speech. It's a holy life, okay? Another one on holiness, and then verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? God's number one attribute, our number one calling is holiness. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3:11. Talking about your works in the last days, talking about the judgment, okay? He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Okay? There's another holy life. Okay? We are to live a holy life. Okay? So that is... And we will fill ourselves with strong drink, back in Isaiah verse 12, where it says, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. These apostate teachers refuse to live a holy life. Number one, they're not a student of the Bible. Number two, they're not men of prayer. And number three, they are not living clean lives. Okay? So let's go ahead and stop there, because we're going to pick that back up next week, because I have a whole nother page on living a holy life. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Just pray now, Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, bind any unclean spirits or devils, Lord, and especially the deaf and dumb spirit. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit will have free course in this room today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.